have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman? Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
For town hall meeting, and anybody that wishes to come up, Okay, so the first time that you come up to speak, you get 10 minutes. You don't have to take it all if you don't want it. And then you get a second chance to get up and speak for 5 minutes once everybody gets to speak once. Councilmember Morgan?
Knowing that our schedule says that these end at 9 o'clock and that there's quite a few people here, I'm wondering if we could... Might be an idea to have a show of hands before we decide on 10 minutes so that everybody gets a chance to speak.
Well, it's in the code. It's in the code. That's correct. That's correct. At 9 o'clock. Yes, that's correct. Is there anybody wishing to get up and speak? This is your chance for Robin.
All right, Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. You guys spoke about or worked with the six-year TIP, the 2017 to 2022 six-year TIP this evening. This first came to a work study, the six-year TIP, last year on June 9, 2016, 9 months ago. It came before council on June 16, 2016. Sometime in there after that or at that meeting, it must have been sent to committee, but another work study was held on September 8th, 2016. And it's been stated multiple times in council meetings that this is still being worked on in committee. So I see it's also on your agenda for your committee meeting Monday night or wherever that's held at, that you've got the six-year TIP on there. Could you please explain what detailed work you've been doing on the six-year TIP in your committee meetings?
The six-year TIP, we haven't discussed it a lot since we've had some trouble getting our meetings and having people come talk to us about it, but we are very interested in the how they fit together, and we're also interested in the documents that support the funding and also the estimated costs. And we have I have tried to connect some of the projects, the CIP and the TIP, so that I understand how they fit together. And anybody else want to speak to that?
Well, this is Councilmember Weber. I just have a quick question. I guess for you did, or for the mayor did that meeting get noticed, publicly noticed? The one for the growth management on Monday? Okay. Okay. But it wasn't noticed publicly, though. Okay.
So, I'm concerned that you've had this for 9 months and you admit you have not discussed it a lot. You claim you're not getting people to come to talk about it, yet you've had more than one work study on it, one tonight, and yet you pose absolutely no substantive questions. Tonight, the questions were so inane, so vague, it was like you'd seen this for the first time and never had a chance to look at it before. It amazes me that now we're being asked, actually, should have passed it last year, but now you're being told it needs to get passed or we're going to lose that funding. It sounded to me like it was like 1.4 mil or something like that. I'm not sure, 1.2 mil or something, that we could lose the grant funding for this if the TIP is not passed next week. And yet you're so fixated on replacement of the Rock Creek Bridge to the point where it seems like you didn't even hear what Mr. Williamson had to, or Mr. Haney had to explain about it, Scott, had to explain about it last week, about us not, it takes a substantial amount of money, probably multiple millions of dollars to replace that bridge. But all you can think about is it's got to be replaced, it's got to be replaced. Why could you not ask any substantive questions tonight on this, since you've had it for 9 months now?
So the mayor has obstructed our committee meetings by failing to provide requested public notice?
No, this is my time. I do not want you to blame the mayor. I want you to put your script away.
As I have repeatedly stated,
no.
The committees are
legal. This is my time, Councilmember Pepper.
No MPA, no PMA.
Councilmember Pepper, look at me. This is my time. I want you to use your brain, not read it from paper, but I want you to use your brain and take responsibility for your work, done or not done, and be accountable for your work as a council member, done or not done. I want you to look at me and tell me why you could not ask one substantive question tonight.
That's your opinion.
Yeah, it's my opinion, all right.
And you may keep your opinion.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Glad you're not going to take it away from me.
Not a chance.
So, why no substantive questions, since you've been looking at this for 9 months?
Well, I disagree with your statement.
What statement?
No substantive questions.
I like the fact, I would like to see how the project goes, how it's changed, the colors, that kind of thing. I mean, you apparently have some concerns because you haven't passed it yet, but yet you voice nothing tonight in the work study.
I disagree.
Okay. So I think we are probably standing in danger of not getting this passed next week. That's my projection, is that this will not pass next week. But I think it is sad and a travesty. And it amazes me, because if I was in your shoes and I could not give an answer, I would crawl out of here on my face, dying of embarrassment.
That would be you.
That would be me, because I have a humility about me that dictators don't. Dictator Pepper. And you and Queen Morgan over there think you run things, but you know, we're the voters.
I think the name calling is inappropriate.
That doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to call a spade, and that's what you are. You're a tyrant. So you might think you have the last word, but the voters have the last word. You may think you're pulling the wool over people's eyes around here, but there are people's eyes getting opened up to you guys and your shenanigans. And I want you to remember, Councilmember Weber, Councilmember Morgan, you guys are up this year, and we will replace you. And Pepper, don't think your seat is safe either.
Just a quick statement. I think Brian Weber was curious how Robin knew that you were possibly holding a meeting Monday. It's because I let her know that you did send an email out, Pepper, requesting that a meeting be held Monday. So that's how she knows. So don't blame it on the mayor. It was from me. And Robin did ask each of you guys to let her know anytime you were holding a meeting so that she could attend them. So I do let her know. So I do let her know every time.
Well, and that's fine. I'm not looking to assign blame. I was just curious. And as far as I know, Councilmember Pepper, you talked about the list for the meeting. Since it's your meeting, I didn't know if it had been noticed or not. But had it been noticed,
you could have had it here in the council chambers where
listing of emails that he could have sent to as well, correct?
Aaron?
Good evening, Black Diamond City Council. Aaron Stout, 24753 Maitland Street, Black Diamond. A question that I've had in my mind for really several months, and I've been waiting for this opportunity to just kind of have open season or whatever you want to call it, is this. And I'd love to have an answer from each member of the council and mayor if you want to chip in too. It's kind of a simple question, I hope. But I would like to ask that in light of the fact that we have a pretty big development going in Black Diamond, that has been challenged in court at least twice that I know of, and that has been approved of, at least the court has said, yes, this development can go forward. My question for you is, what is your vision of the city of Black Diamond as this development goes forward?
I can answer that. So, Councilmember Deedy, so as the development was challenged, and it did not stand in the court, so the development is here. So my vision is a walkable city, just like I mentioned at the work study, is that we incorporate what's coming, and we incorporate everybody into the city, you know, to show, you know, whoever moves in that they're welcome here. I hope that, you know, during the time that people start moving in, they're not chastised for buying into a development in there. I would hope that they were welcomed with open arms, just like people that moved into Morgan Creek or Lawson Hill Estates or any of the other developments that we've had here. So my vision is that Lake Sawyer, Old Town, the new development, that we're all one. We're not segregated, you know, it's not, oh, that's the development out there, that's Oak Point, or that's Lake Sawyer. So my goal is to get everybody on one page, that we're all Black Diamond, and that we all have the best interest for the city.
Hi. So I just wrote a few notes here right about that, because one of the things is that where I truly come from has been misrepresented quite a bit. So what I want you to know is where I truly come from. So many of our citizens see the development as being too big or too fast for Black Diamond and without the necessary infrastructure to support those developments. Some would agree that the developments are bad because change is bad. Some see the developments as squashing out the essence of Black Diamond. I think we just heard that. That's the Black Diamond that we know and love today, that we call our home. I add a little note to that because I think it's important for us as people of the state of Washington to understand. The Washington State Constitution does say that the people who are here in this place today are the ones who get to decide what kind of development happens in our future, because it's our future. And I think the state also recognized when they said that we, the people who are here now, kind of have an understanding for the economics of a situation, the lay of the land. That's something that somebody from way away doesn't have the same perception of. But I will also say that I'm an environmentalist, and I know that our development could be a total flop and a blight on the environment, causing untold damage unless our developments are held to the strictest possible environmental standards. And I say this for a lot of reasons, but mainly because we're the source area for the Green Duwamish Watershed. That 640 square miles of mostly built environment, expensive built environment. And, you know, That's just one of the things that I, you know, that I have to take into consideration, because we're in a position where what we do in this town is going to matter downstream. And one of the things in the, you know, I'm in the RIA, in the watershed study group. Our RIA has more money right now, for a little while anyway, because of the Duwamish and Puget Sound cleanup. And so right now what they're doing, the study they're actually going to do over the next 2 years, involves figuring out where the surface water is coming from. And they have it defined in such a way that they'll actually be able to tell where it comes from. So when someone's house goes over the cliff over there at Saltwater State Park, they'll know where the water came from that did that.
So,
and I'm saying, what I'm saying is,
what's your vision of Black Diamond?
So my vision of Black Diamond is that Black Diamond itself be at the forefront of these environmental issues.
So accountable.
That, and be super accountable, and to understand that we're at this crucible and that we have to be doing the best possible science and methods, not from the point of view of curtailing the development, but so that the development itself can be the best possible development. And what I know is that, you know, when the developers first came, I mean, it was part of their glossy advertisement. But it's also true. You know, it's the way of things. If you want to have a good development, if you want to have a really good development, you're going to pay attention to these environmental rules. Because in the end, it's going to be cheaper. And it will also be, it will also be better, and it will have a longer, better life. And so that's where I'm coming.
I can do that. So I look at it as the people come in, the houses and the development, which will happen. They've done a lot of the millions of dollars worth of infrastructure right now, that we will be able to integrate those people into our lives so that they will be part of this community, and we will welcome those people into this community, because that's what we need to do in order to keep the community that we have now and the community that's been growing over time. Is we need to welcome those people into this community. We need to welcome the businesses. And I don't anticipate anytime soon that we were going to have any big box stores or anything like that. I think mostly it's going to be residents, and maybe they've talked about some commercial, and I would like to see some commercial in Black Diamond because it would help our economy. But I would like to see us welcome those people into our community so that they become part of our community and not just an appendage that was added on.
Mr. Weber.
Ms. Stout, thank you for coming out tonight.
What's your vision for Black Diamond in light of the development that's happening?
You know, I look at it, I guess, from past experience, past history of my life. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, anywhere we lived, which a lot of times ended up being in a smallish town. I think part of what I like about Black Diamond is that you know, there is kind of this togetherness or friendliness around town for the most part. But I'd say over the, you know, when I was growing up, you knew who your neighbors were around the neighborhood. You know, you'd always go playing around somebody's house. You didn't have to worry about running around, you know, three blocks down the street. Came home when the street light was on. I get we're in a different time now. But the thing about my vision for Black Diamond is to kind of keep that kind of older, small townness where you're not, you know, over the last 20, 25 years, I've lived in a few places where I might know like two neighbors in a neighborhood, and it's not for, you know, lack of trying. Everybody's busy. Just people kind of tend to keep themselves more, you know, that kind of thing. So I think Black Diamond needs to, as it grows, obviously grow smart. And I agree with Erica. You know, I think it's important to follow, you know, especially when it comes to environmental, to follow the most stringent, because it will impact later down the road. But, for example, the school districts, Black Diamond's going to has four school districts. Well, a lot of everything that I've done since I've moved here has been focused around Enumclaw. So I don't know very many people necessarily that go to, like, Tahoma or, you know, the Maple Valley schools or Kent. There we go. Yeah. And so I would like to see Black Diamond at a point where, you know, especially with, you know, Miners Days, Labor Days, those are good events, the community center, Christmas, stuff like that. Those are things that I want to see continue and possibly get bigger, obviously, as we bring more people in. Because I think just in the world we live in, there's a lot of detachments, and people, it'd be nice to, you know, have our small, bigger city still keep that connection around town.
I went on the Franklin walking tour on Saturday, and I walked around to the graveyard, and, you know, I grew up, I am talking about vision, I grew up in a town that's now 300 years old, and I'm standing on the path at Franklin looking at concrete, and the whole town is not there. They even took up the railroad tracks. There's nothing there. Every once in a while you see the metal pulley things in the dirt, for those of you that have been up there. And I'm thinking, you know, Black Diamond is an old town for Washington, in Washington. And it has very deep roots. And we are looking at, in our future, significant growth in the city of Black Diamond. And Black Diamond, the city of Black Diamond, in my vision, is still here in 100 years. And I think the reason that it will be here is because we all have done some good work. And some of it is infrastructure work, and some of it is business work, and some of it is the work of hopefully smart, intelligent decisions around the growth that occurs. But I also think people have alluded to a couple other things, and one of them is welcoming and integrating those that come here, also understanding that those that are arriving may have a little different point of view than the people that are here already. And fortunately, Black Diamond has some very strong traditions and hopefully can welcome the ideas and considerations of people that did not grow up here but would like very much to be a part of the community. So for me, I think that people first would be my vision, and then around the things that I have mentioned, like the community spirit, the history, the willingness to integrate, and also to listen to new ideas, and also remember that Black Diamond has some super assets. The bakery, of course, is one, but the history of the town and the way it's been preserved is a huge asset. Washington State isn't as old as some places that I have lived, but it has a very proud historical history that's very live. And I think that that's something with the festivals and the events that people can really appreciate. And I think it's a family town, and I think it's a town that would do well by itself to know that they have so much to offer the people who are arriving. Thank you.
Thanks for your view of Black Diamond in the future.
Yeah. you all. I have two questions. So my first question, and my name is Pam McCain, and here in Black Diamond, I know when all of you guys ran for office, you ran on the transparent government thing, you know, being super vigilant and looking out for the mysterious undercurrent things. And it's frustrating to me, as a member of the Planning Commission in this town, that the minutes from the meetings, most of all for probably the last 7 or 8 months, have not been accepted by the majority council people. And I just believe that that is a travesty to the taxpaying citizens in this town, that the simple meeting minutes cannot be approved and put on the website for view by ordinary citizens. Most normal people can't sit through 4.5 hours of audio to kind of get an idea of what is going on in this town. And it feels irresponsible to me for those minutes not to be approved and not to be able to be viewed by the public. Second of all, the Joint Council and Planning Commission meetings, of which I considered them cooperative, productive, respectful, and very informative to the public because of the adoption of the comp plan, which is so far overdue, I believe that the citizens would have a different respect for the process of how work is done communally with both the Planning Commission and all layers of government if we could just get those meeting minutes published. And Erica, I noticed that you pull meeting minutes out arbitrarily for some purpose. So one, I'd like two questions answered. One, why are those meeting minutes not approved and available to be viewed? And why do you pull them out selectively and arbitrarily?
It may seem like I'm pulling them out arbitrarily and selectively. That isn't true in a lot of ways. Mainly, my issue generally with the minutes is that they have complete and total misrepresentations in them about what was going on, and it's because the meetings themselves are so chaotic that it's extremely difficult to get.
I'm talking about both.
She's talking about both. She's looking at me about the council meetings. And as you said, it's difficult to go back and listen to them and try to remember and listen and watch the video to try to figure out and to correlate what happened at this meeting that needs to go in the minutes. I'm really happy that we've decided to just do action minutes.
But don't you agree that those at least should be available for the public?
Well, since the actions, I have to listen and we have to listen and go back and listen and coordinate and compare, and we have found places where actions weren't properly recorded in the minutes. And I don't really see much point in having minutes that are written that are not what really happened. And that's our final time, really, to talk about, you know, to say what was really said. And we may not have always said what we intended to say either. So then it makes it a little more difficult to, you know, you can't just go and make it up. You have to actually really know.
So with that, and I've heard that said before at other council meetings, so when can the public expect that you're going to do your back and forth and double check and all that? When can the public expect, Erica, that those meetings are published, meeting minutes are published?
Well, what I can promise is that they will eventually be published. When, I don't know.
I think if any one of you were were involved in any other level of government, and I know Brian, I'm sure that there are business meetings that go on at your employer at Boeing, and someone keeps minutes. I mean, they write notes, tactical notes, or whatever. But there has to be a system for keeping track of comment. And I do believe, as nutty as these meetings get, that even that needs to be written down. And that needs to be able to be circulated to the people who can't be here. And I just believe that it is your responsibility to get to the point and get that information out to the public. They deserve that. Brian, do you have any comment with that, please?
Well, I agree that the meeting minutes should go out for the public for their use or view, but I also believe that when those minutes go out, they need to be the most correct, accurate record, because once they're out there, that's the meeting minutes for the meeting. So they should be 100%.
So how we handle that at the Planning Commission side is, you know, we have our meeting, and most of us, we're all in attendance, and we know what's going on. The clerk very clearly provides a great synopsis of what happened at that meeting. Aside from there being a glaring issue, we make a motion after the commissioners look at the written minutes, and they move and adopt that those should become published. That is the way it's handled with the government. It's been handled like that for years. Why can't it be handled that way? Pat Pepper, could you address that issue?
I certainly don't think I'll be saying anything new. The minutes are chaotic and very hard to follow accurately, and that's what we're trying to do. We're slowly bringing them forward.
Well, I don't think that is a good enough answer for the citizens of Black Diamond. It feels like there is a manipulation and some kind of something that's going on here that does not want the transparent government each one of you talk about generally. And I do believe that it's unfair. And I do believe on the Planning Commissioner side, all of the work that my commissioners did that was cooperative, respectful, and that they gave their time up, it should be respected enough to be able to cite their participation and move that information forward. And I really expect that we honor the volunteers in our community, and that we can put the written record to bed, and that we can look back 5 years and say, yeah, I was on the Planning Commission 5 years ago, and, you know, we made some progress. And you could look back at that and say, yeah, and I participated and whatever. It is chaotic, and unless that changes, we just need to have meeting minutes that reflect that. Because then you can all take some kind of responsibility for that chaos, other than just the meetings that get totally out of control. And I have just one other question. And Erica Morgan, I could probably ask you, are you passionate about private property rights, generally speaking? Your own private property rights?
What do you mean by private property rights?
Well, so you have a home here in town on a piece of property. Are you particularly protective of that piece of property? Do you feel like you've earned the freedom to do whatever you want with your property that's lawful and legal?
Well, you're... supplement at the end there, lawful and legal, that's important.
Well, you can't have a meth lab or something because that's not lawful or legal. But, I mean, you know, you can landscape any way you choose, and you can more or less choose to take care of your place or not. But do you generally feel protective of your piece of the planet where you live?
Well, I don't want people interfering with my property lines and
sure.
Pulling up stakes and stuff like that.
That's reasonable.
I'm pretty much of an environmentalist, so it's probably my choice. I'm very careful about the environment that I'm in.
Sure.
Where I have sensitive areas on my property,
I stay completely out of them, and I wouldn't expect anything or anyone to interfere with that.
Okay. Mr. Weber, do you feel the same way? Do you feel pretty passionate about the nice home that you have up in Blossom Hill Estate?
My little square.
Pardon me?
My little square in the
yeah.
world.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And Pat Pepper, do you feel the same? I mean, I know generally where you live, and do you feel like if your neighbor were starting to encroach 5 feet over on your property, would you be upset with him? If he built a shed just any old place and put it over your property line?
We'd probably have a conversation.
Yeah, right. And at my house, too. And I want to just see if I can get an opinion. At the end of the day, or even at the beginning of the day, Oak Point is a private property owner in this city. Do they have any rights? Do they have any rights to do with their property what is legal and lawful without obstruction? Where does the line stop and start with them? Can anybody address that for me?
Well, they're like anybody else. Like, you went around the table and, you know, talked about people's rights under the law, and so that's where they're at. I mean, they have their property. They do what they are doing legally.
Do we have a right to obstruct that? And does that hold true with our whole good neighbor attitude?
I don't feel that the insurance things are done correctly, or, you know, I don't feel that doing things correctly and within the law would be an obstruction.
Well, they have lawfully. They've been vested. They've spent millions of dollars acquiring this property, lawfully doing whatever they had to do to get to this point. I don't know what that dollar figure is, but I don't think it's very neighborly when we take it upon ourselves to impose mysterious hurdles for them and new super vigilant rules for them that we wouldn't appreciate on ourselves. Don't forget, they are private property owners. There's more at stake here than your driving your sword in the sand, Pepper, about whatever issue you have. I swear, if somebody came onto your property and started pushing you around and causing you delays and impeding you, I think the rest of us in this room would probably say, heck no. It is not fair. It is not being good neighbors. And it is not responsible to push your own agenda on someone else and impede their private property rights that they have earned and deserve.
So I'm probably the wrong person for you to be delivering this speech to, because the people who've been encroaching on my property, not that I would do them a bad deed for a bad deed, has been them. I have led them and their surveyors off my land numerous times, and we've gone almost to court.
Well, that doesn't sound very neighborly. And I think at some point in time,
when they pull up my property markers, when they encroach over on my land, when they tell me that I need to get off of my own land, that isn't exactly neighborly either.
Well, I believe it's that kind of an attitude that should make anybody turn around and run. That is not neighborly. That's not respectful. And at the end of the day, I believe that we have to admit that nothing has changed between Camp Meridian and here, and I went there a long time ago. Nothing stays the same, and we don't have a right to impede their private property rights any more than someone else has the right to pull up your property stakes or whatever. So when we boil this down, it's not the green-eyed developer monster. It's a private property owner. And I don't think they deserve this. And I do believe that there needs to be some action to get this transparency back to where it was before you all three got in office and let the citizens of Black Diamond know exactly what's going on.
So I've asked you, Brian, and Pat, and Erica should have done this already, but I doubt it, if you've read the development agreement or the funding agreement, and you said you have, where have you read that at?
Where did you read it? Online.
Okay. I've read it. I have books. They're that thick. You cannot read it online. You can't highlight. You can't mark pages. You know, you can't flip back and forth to what they're referring to. This document right here is the response from the hearing examiner. Were you here when we had the hearing?
Mm-hmm.
You were. Okay. So one of the things, this document addresses every single item that the public came to the hearing and that came into question. And Yarrow Bay, they had to change things and mitigate with the city and say they would do certain things. And there's a lot of stuff in here. I don't have enough time to go through. And if you went to Andy and asked him, hey, where can I find this? So condition number 3 says, tables in section 11 include list of infrastructure improvements and identifies timing and funding requirements. And I'm sure that's something that you haven't seen.
The mitigation pieces are online, I think. Mitigation pieces from the hearing examiner.
You need to go in and get the books from the staff. That's the least you can do, educate yourself on these agreements. Because this one says, and I'm bringing this to your attention, because a couple different things, and I'm sure you might be interested in reading that. And
are these the same thing, or
are these kind of? No, it's just a piece. The documents are huge. You can't read them online and do it effectively. So one of the things, you guys are going to mediation, okay? Because you are, well, let me just read this for you here. This agreement contains all of the terms, promises, conditions, and representations made or entered into by and between the parties, supersedes all prior discussion agreements and memos, whether written or oral between the parties, and constitutes the entire understanding of the parties and shall be subject to modification or change only in writing and signed by all parties. Do you understand that? All parties. That means Oak Point. Not you three coming up with your own ideas. Waiver of any default will not be deemed to be a waiver of any subsequent default. Waiver or breach of any provisions of the agreement will not be deemed to be a waiver of any other or subsequent breach and will not be construed to be a modification of the terms of this agreement. Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence with respect to the performance of every covenant and condition of this agreement. You are impeding time is of the essence. Authority. Each party represents and warrants to the other party that it has full power and authority to make this agreement and to perform its obligations hereunder, and that the person signing this agreement on its behalf has the authority to sign and to bind that party. You are under a binding, lawful agreement. that has gone before the hearing examiner. You do not have the right or the authority to mess with it. So dispute resolution, if a conflict arises under this agreement, the party shall have the right to file a lawsuit to enforce the rights and obligations hereunder and or to enter into non-binding mediation pursuant to RCW 7.07, the Uniform Mediation Act. Either party may initiate mediation by serving a request on the other party. If either party files a lawsuit and mediation has not been initiated, then the other party shall have the right to require the filing party to enter into non-binding mediation by serving the filing party with a notice of mediation within 10 days after a complaint is filed. In any case, the mediation shall be scheduled for the earliest date possible, but in no event later than 42 days before the deadline for filing dispositive motions or a motion for a permanent injunction pursuant to the court's scheduling order. So pretty much what that is saying is you better show up to the mediation, because if you don't and there is not an agreement, that gives Oak Point the right to sue the city again. And that's going to be on the three of you. So I encourage you, please, for God's sake, read the agreements. Read them. We spent, it was like a year doing this thing. It wasn't just a willy-nilly thing. It's a huge document, you know? And then it says, the conditions contained in the hearing examiner's recommendations have been addressed. This went before a hearing examiner. Everybody got to speak, and things got changed for the better, mostly. And finally, the development agreements provide the MPD property may be developed only in accordance with the terms of the MPD permit approval. There are so many things in here, you guys, that you need to understand. You need to understand about the water, the phosphorus. So if the phosphorus goes above the level that it was before they started, they have to do something. There's so much, and I don't understand how you guys act like you have authority to change things. I mean, it goes through here, and it gives RH2 and Triad and all those other companies that started from day one, and all their credentials are in there, and how good they are. They're the best. And you guys want to send stuff out to get some Tom, Dick, and Harry who doesn't know what the hell they're doing. This is a big deal. You need the best people on this. And Andy Williamson is the best one in the city who knows this development agreement and funding agreement inside and out. It would be in your best interest to go talk to him. For God's sake, go talk to him. Go get a copy of the development agreement. Go get a copy of the funding agreement and understand it. And understand that by doing what you guys are doing, all you're doing is setting the city up for lawsuit after lawsuit because you're out of compliance. You're impeding the progress. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. You know? And then Erica, I would just love to know how you interpret the Bible. Everybody's interpretation is different, right? So you seem to think that the Rock Creek Bridge needs to be replaced. It does not. Okay? So it says in here, Rock Creek, Lake Sawyer, Ravensdale Creek to the north and the northeast. Existing Rock Creek Roberts Road Bridge should be replaced to meet the same bridge standards when programmed as part of a capital improvement program. You don't have a CIP. You don't. And you guys have grant money sitting there waiting to be approved to make that bridge better, to make a sidewalk, to get Morganville to the rest of the town. And for some reason, you don't want to do it. Why do you want to turn down that money, Brian? Why?
I never said that I was
going
to turn
that
money
down. Well, you did. In the last meeting, you did. Scott stood up there, and he tried to explain to you guys that if you didn't get the let out and pass it, it was going to go back, and we were going to get it. And when we get over 5,000 people, we're going to have to start competing for grant money with big cities, and we're not going to get it. Yarrow Bay does not have to do all the improvements. They don't have to do Roberts Drive. And you, that's the other thing. If you go in and talk to Andy and say, hey, show me where it says, you know, what improvements they have to do, and one of them is the grant money, right? If we can get grant money to help do things, that's better for everybody. Because they're going to do their half of the road, and you're going to turn your nose up to the grant, and then you're going to have another half of the road that sucks. So why didn't you vote it down? I want an answer from each one of you. Why did you vote it down? After Scott stood up there and gave an excellent explanation.
It was not on the approved agenda, and it's on our meeting for Monday.
What meeting for Monday? What's Monday?
We're having a committee meeting on Monday.
No, it was on. Wasn't it on, Mayor? I'm sorry. Was it not on last week's?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. So why did you move it to committee?
We moved it to committee. The meeting is Monday night.
No. Why did you not approve it?
Because it is the council's agenda, and it is our right to have things on the agenda that we would like to have on there.
It was already on the agenda last week. If you would do your job and do your homework and go in and talk to staff, you could get your answers before you go to council. That is your job, Pat Pepper. Not to send everything to committee because you don't want to go talk to staff. If you can't handle it.
Staff is invited to all committee meetings.
No, you're not listening to me.
And you're not listening to me.
I'm telling you, they work a full-time job. They will take time. They have all these records in their office, right? Go in there and talk to them. Why are you being so difficult that you have to have them come to your committee meeting? That's not it. If you guys would have done the right thing in the first place and taken the mayor's committees and appointments, you could have good dialogue. And don't even go there. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
I don't. Because
Ben, you need to know that the council has the right to their own internal affairs, and that includes their committees.
This isn't about your committees. This is about you, Pat Pepper, and Brian Weber, going in and talking to staff. Why will you not go in and talk to staff? Answer me.
I have answered you probably three or four times.
Why won't you go in to talk to staff?
Well, as far as myself, I generally go through email, so
that's not
the time
same
thing.
It doesn't work. And I know you work a full-time job. I get that. And they do
works
too. But you know what? When I was on council, we had a couple guys that they work full-time, and staff made time for them to come into the office and talk to them after hours. There's no excuse for you guys not to go talk to them. And having them come to your committee meetings is not the same. They don't have all the documentation there. They can't just like, oh, just a minute, let me pull that out here. You know, it just doesn't make sense, you guys. It really doesn't. You think you're going to get electrocuted if you walk through the door? Then I dare you, both of you, to go talk to Andy, to go in and talk to Scott, and talk to him about this. Not just when you go to your committee and you're talking amongst yourself. That doesn't make any sense because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You don't have the information in front of you that you need to have in front of you. There is so much more to it than just this piece of paper. So if you go in and talk to them, they can help explain it, help you understand. Ask Tammy. When she first started, you know, just like I did. It's like, what the hell? And you have to go in, you have to read the stuff, and you have to talk to them, and you have to have them explain it and help show it to you. And then they have to go to another book and say, no, this is why this is here. This is what the hearing examiner said. So that's how this got there. Does that make sense? Okay. So, you guys, you have to really, if you're not willing to go in and talk to staff and do your job and have a conversation with them and pull these books out, then just step down. Just go away. Because you're not helping the city. You're not doing any progress. You're impeding the progress, and all you're doing is piling up lawsuits. And that's what's going to happen. It will happen. And I don't know why you think it won't, but it will. And, you know, I wish I could have found, I was going to give you my development agreement book. I have it somewhere. It's packed away in the attic somewhere. I couldn't find it. Because you could read it online, but this is just the one from the hearing examiner. I've got notes and highlights in here, and I've got things marked in here. You can't do that online. It's too intense. It's too intense. There's so much to it. There really is so much to it. And I just really, really encourage you. Brian, maybe you will. You know, call Andy and say, hey, I don't get off work until such and such time. I can't get in there, but can you meet me and just go over this with me so I can understand it better? Because if you do that, you will be surprised at what has gone into this. This went for the hearing examiner. This went to the state Supreme Court, you guys. State Supreme Court. So think about what you're doing. And think about, if it went to the state Supreme Court, what makes you think that the way you're going about this is going to work? I can see if you have an agenda or you're trying to champion something. I get that. Then do it the right way. Do it the legal way. Do it the grown-up way and go talk to people. Go talk to the staff. That's what they're here for. That's their job.
Mayor, Council, I'm Jonna Thompson, Black Diamond. I'm just looking for some clarification about some things that have happened at recent council meetings. So I'm happy for this opportunity to be able to ask you some questions. So at the last council meeting, Councilmember Weber, you asked that there be a request for a new attorney. And I guess I really just haven't been following what the problem is with the current attorney. And I want to add that I just love Ray Still's articles in the Reporter and the Courier Herald every 2 weeks. And this last article that came out yesterday was kind of all about the attorneys. And it was great to read the kind of the history of the three attorneys that have represented the city over the last year. But what I'm not really understanding is what was the problem with the attorney. So let's just talk about, I mean, what's the problem with the current attorney? And what I want to understand is, what are you looking for in a new attorney so that citizens will recognize the new attorney or recognize what it is you want so that we can see if that will happen or not? I guess I'll just break that down too. What is it about the current attorney that you're unhappy with?
Well, I would say the issue I have right now, or currently, is that firm has been voted down at least twice by council. And so, you know, the mayor brings forward who she wants confirmed or, you know, say to hire, and it's the council's prerogative to approve or disapprove the resolution for service.
Okay, so you've turned them down twice. And by council, you're saying council majority.
the council majority has turned them down. So what, but my question is why?
I think I've mentioned it in the past. There's history with the firm, with the city, that I don't know that, in my opinion, we always got the, I guess the, what's the word I'm looking for? Can't really say best bang for our buck, but I don't think it was always necessarily in the, always in the city's interest. So.
The advice that this attorney has given you hasn't always been in the city's best interest. Did I understand that right?
No, you asked me about the past firm. The firm that he works with.
Ken and Jason? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about past attorneys haven't always given the best advice?
Yeah.
So that's when you say that there's history with the city, you're saying that there's bad history or there's been some bad advice that's come from that firm. Is that what you're saying?
I would say that there was some, definitely some disagreement on how things were handled.
And that wasn't while you were here. That was, am I understanding that? That's not while you were here. That was historically.
You mean here as in on council?
As a council member, right? Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of hearsay or stories or facts that you've been giving? Which one?
I would say it was based on documented decisions, and it just, you know, you can ask a lawyer two different lawyers, just like an engineer. You can ask two different people the same question and you're going to get two different answers.
Right. Understandable. So. Right. Exactly. Okay. So did any of the rest of you want to comment about what you don't like about the current attorney?
So having a little bit more history with the city of Black Diamond, what I can tell you is what public considered in the past was that the firm Kenyon Dyson, they understandably they had a lawyer who was very bombastic.
A different one.
A different lawyer than Mr. Linehan, but
okay.
I'm gonna get to that.
Okay.
But if you could use names,
I would understand.
And basically, well, I'd rather not when I'm talking like this, because as we said, one person's attorney is good might not line up with another person's.
But that's a very
pattern.
Strong comment to say
that
about
is,
some,
that
somebody.
Is. And hang on. So the issue at the time was the way the city of Black Diamond hires an attorney. And the way the city of Black Diamond hires an attorney is the council makes a contract with an attorney. That's how it's always been done. Always. Some cities have an appointed position called city attorney. And then there'll be some place in the code where it states some kind of requirement for said attorney. And then the prerogative of who hires the attorney becomes the mayor's, because it's an appointed position that the mayor appoints. And it's no longer a contract with the council. The Kenyon Dyson firm has a position that all their attorneys are city attorneys working at the hands of the mayor. Whether it says that in their code or not.
Okay, you don't know if it says it in their code, but
whether the city has that in their code, where the city has that in their code or not. And I had reservations about the Kenyon Dyson firm after my experience from before, because I understood that this was something that was in the structure of their firm. That this was something that they did. And, you know, I don't just talk to people in Black Diamond. I have a pretty broad field of people that I talk to. So I kind of knew this. I knew other places where they had this Kenyon Dyson firm as a city attorney.
And they were unhappy with them? Is that what you're
getting
to?
There were things that went on. But this was the thing that really stuck in my craw, because this is an attorney who's supposed to uphold the code. And they have, and they weren't recognizing the fact that we didn't have that position in the code. So I had reservations when Linehan was brought forth from Kenyon Dyson as an attorney. And when he started talking, I started to realize that he took that attitude. And when his boss, Michael Kenyon, came and talked to us at the council, at a couple council meetings, he made it loud and clear that that was his attitude and his position. And then, I mean, to bring this to more recent times, just at the last meeting, I had a little dialogue and exchange with the attorney where I said, well, you're telling me that I'm supposed to vote for this. I have a piece of Black Diamond Municipal Code I'm reading out to you that says something different. Did you read this piece of code? And he said, well, nobody told me to read that, so no, I didn't read it. And I'm going...
Yeah, I was there. It didn't sound like that at all.
It sounded like that to me, and you know, in context or out of context, what we need is an attorney who reads and knows and understands, maybe not from the first day, but who makes an effort to know what's our code, because that's our code's first line of defense out in the world. I need them to know that. If they don't think it's defensible, if from their point of view, if it's not defensible, and they wouldn't want to or be able to stand up for it, I want them to come to the council and say, we need to change this and this and this and this and this.
But if he currently came to the council and said he needed to change some things, you wouldn't be open to it anyway, because you're not open to anything he has to say. So.
I don't think that I take an attitude like that. I'm much more complicated than that. I would read through it very carefully and then decide. Some things he said I've agreed with, some things
so
I haven't.
If I could just try to understand what you said, just to make sure I'm understanding. So your issue with Mr. Linehan is that he is not understanding the fact that in the city of Black Diamond, it's the city council who has the authority over the attorney, not the mayor.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No, and that's authority used in that sense is not really.
So Erica,
not really,
when you keep splitting words and being vague, it's hard to understand what you're saying.
I understand,
so I want
and
you
I'm
to
expecting,
get specific.
And I'm expecting the citizens of Black Diamond to be smart enough.
Okay, do not insult us, okay?
I'm not college educated. Please stop for a minute.
Don't insult us.
I'm not.
Don't. You talk in circles. You talk this way and that way. It's difficult to follow. I'm trying to be respectful of you and say, did I hear you correctly? So now don't take a word and split the word and say, well, that's not exactly what I said, because I'm trying to understand what you said. The reason you don't like Mr. Linehan is what?
The reason that I have a problem with Mr. Linehan and the Kenyon Dyson firm is because he is not defending what is written in the Black Diamond Municipal Code vigorously. And I see that as the job of his job. The council does not really have independent authority over the lawyer.
Okay.
We need to be together on that. Okay. And I would never be for something or against something just because I decided to do that. I'm much more complicated than that.
Okay. So, well, that helps me. Thank you very much for clarifying that. Your thinking is that he needs to study, memorize, and be able to regurgitate the city municipal code at will. Is that correct?
I didn't say that.
You
That's
implied,
not what I said.
You implied
I said
that he needs to he know needs, the code inside
he,
and out
he doesn't
and
have
fervently
to,
support it.
He doesn't have to do any of those things.
Oh.
He does have to, though, be able to say, is there something in the Black Diamond Municipal Code that I should check? And then he needs to be able to get up and check it. Look it up on his computer,
go over
to the books, whatever.
It sounds as if you spent a lot of time studying the code and interpreting
it. I haven't spent a lot of time.
You've brought up recently things that you've read and been concerned about. So is it possible for you to share your concern with him before the meeting so that he has an idea that you're going to ask him about that specific code? Because what I witnessed at the last council meeting is you really putting him on the spot about something instead of giving him a heads up that you had been looking at something and you were going to ask for some clarification. Because it's just like any professional that, I mean, whatever your degree is or your specialty, you're not necessarily going to have remember everything at the top of your head. You need to, like, refresh and go view it. So I'm just suggesting that maybe that would go easier if you consulted or let him know that you had a question beforehand instead of just flatly saying, I don't recognize you as the attorney. So I'm wondering if the mayor and Tammy have anything that you would like to add.
As far as the city attorney?
Yes.
I have no issues with David Linham. I think that the advice he's been giving has been researched on the topics that he has been given. What Erica brought up was something that she noticed at the meeting, and so she asked him a question, and he answered it and said he would get back with that, and he would look it up. So.
And do you find that abnormal?
No. Every attorney that has been here has done that. And in the years that I've been on here, it has always been a rule that that there's no surprises, that, you know, the council doesn't all of a sudden put a staff member on the spot to make them look like they don't know what they're doing or anything. And in return, the staff doesn't do that to the council. So I still practice that. But I have no problems with them. You know, I was here when Kenya Dyson was here the first year, you know, and I had questions that I asked them, you know, and if I didn't agree, it didn't mean that it wasn't truthful that they were giving, you know, but I would go to MRSC and they would say, you know, here's this, and go back to the attorney and say, here's what I heard, you know, and work it out. But it's never been where I don't disregard totally a city attorney advice and go totally off on my own to bring stuff in. My job as a council member is to make sure that the city is protected, and I take the advice of the city attorney, and I don't just willy-nilly decide that I'm going to change it and put the city, when I say the city, the taxpayers, at risk of having to pay for lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. And the city attorney that we have now has stated over and over again that he's the city's attorney. He's not the mayor's attorney. He's not the council's attorney. He's the city's attorney to keep the city out of litigation. So he needs to know if something is defensible or not. He's not my attorney. He's not the council's attorney. He's the city attorney. But the thing that's happened this year that's been my fault is I listened to the advice of the attorney. We've had three attorneys that all of the majority have disagreed with, and they've all been giving me legal advice to keep the city out of litigation. So I don't know how we'll ever find an attorney that the three majority are going to like, because the three that we've had so far have all said the same thing.
So I guess I would just put it back then to Brian and Pat and Erica about what is it that you're looking, what, how will you know that a new attorney is going to be the right attorney? I mean, what is it that you're looking for?
Could I answer the question that they were answering?
Sure. I just kind of wanted to move it along because I was recognizing this was taking a while. So.
Okay.
if you have something else to add.
Yeah, we had three candidates that came in and applied in May for the position of attorney, and Councilmember Deedy and Mayor Benson and I and the interim lawyer were on the interview committee. And we interviewed the three lawyers that at their firms, the lawyers representing their firms who came in and gave an interview, and we asked them questions, and they gave us references. I called everybody's reference. There was, out of the three, there was one lawyer that I thought would have been a really good fit for Black Diamond. One of the reasons was he's never worked for Black Diamond before. But other reasons were he had mediation training, and I believe I read into the record the reasons that I felt that he would be a good fit for Black Diamond. The council has contracting authority and voted to hire this particular lawyer. The mayor called up this particular person after the council had voted and told him not to come, not to be the lawyer, and he would not be paid. And then Kenyon Deason was put forth as the law firm for the city. The council did not vote on this law firm. David Linehan personally seems like a very fine gentleman, but the issue here is the contracting authority of the council.
Mayor, did you want to respond to that? Because that's confusing.
Well, they only have the authority to confirm my selection. And the attorney that they picked has never been a municipal attorney. He had no experience being a municipal attorney. It would have been very difficult for him to come into this very chaotic situation and try to help. It would have been very difficult for him to be able to do the job. We wanted to pick somebody that at least had some background in municipal law.
I would like to add that as far as I'm aware from reading his information online, he's a litigator and had no municipal experience.
So how will you know when you find a good next attorney? What are you looking for?
So for me, as far as Kenny Deason, they have in-house, they have every resource right there. So the attorney that Pat Pepper is talking about is just a one person, maybe a receptionist, a secretary or something, but he's a one-man show. So for me, it's got to be a firm that can handle PDR cases, that can handle land use issues, that can handle all the things that are in the city that we need help with. So it would help to have, and that's why I think Kenyon Deason was the best one out of this group, because they have all of that right there, that resource right there for the helping. So that's what I'm looking for when it comes back up, is a firm that can handle all of that and not have to go through a training and having to read, like Chrissy said, the whole booklet on the MPDs and on the hearing examiners, you know, to learn all of that. I want somebody here that understands all of that and can get caught up relatively quickly and not come in as somebody who has never been a municipal attorney and have to learn all the things, all the laws for municipalities.
Well, I'll just say that, you know, a firm possibly could be the way to go, but the things I'm looking at is land use and municipal. Somebody that, you know, I think Janie mentioned, you know, a work study or some kind of meeting where, you know, we can vet the applicants to hopefully come up with somebody that's mutual. And I'll agree with Pat. I've talked to Mr. Linehan offline, and he seems like a perfectly nice guy. I don't have issue with him personally. What I have issue with is the process of why he's here and how he got here. So
I know you're over your 10 minutes. So the council majority didn't agree on the attorney. So the mayor then needs to still take care of the city, still needs to have that protection. So she went into contract. She went into, you know, her $15,000 contracts with Kenyon Dyson. So even though the two entities didn't agree, the city still needs coverage. It still needs that protection. So now we're going out for that. But in the meantime, the city council and the mayor still need to recognize that there is an attorney here to protect the city. And his job is to protect the city. And if he messes that up, he has a bar that complains, and he gets in trouble. So his job is to protect the city as an entity, as the whole, not just the council or the mayor. So so in doing so, I lost my track. But that's just what we need, is just an attorney that has the capability to do all the take care of all the issues in the city.
And I want to confirm that the cost to hire a city attorney, I mean, like, their hourly wage is like $400 an hour. Is that correct? Is
no.
that what we?
$280.
Right,
and
okay.
then their assistants are like $150 or $135
okay.
an hour. So the people that do the PDRs and go through the PDRs and check them out and make sure that they're legal are a lot
okay.
less expensive, whereas I don't remember what Vansil's rate was. It was probably 300 and something. But anyway, he would have had to do all the work himself.
That's the
that
other
rate.
Attorney that
they
she
tried
mentioned.
To hire, yes.
That was $380 an hour. Oh, okay. But he was more expensive.
He was more expensive. He was a what?
But there wasn't assistance to help
no,
at a
no
lesser
assistance.
Rate also.
Right.
Okay. So, because the last point I would just like to make is that it seems like not a good use of taxpayers' dollars for him to sit here for 4 or 5 hours, these long, lengthy meetings. You know, if it was once in a while, I would say no big deal. But it's like every meeting is going until 11 o'clock. That is not a good use of taxpayer dollars. So I would just really like there to be a concerted effort to rein in the time in the meeting that's not very productive. If we could get to having productive meetings and spend the taxpayers' dollars well in terms of all of the employees and the attorney who's working at that particular time, that would be really great. And I wish you all very good fortune in finding an attorney that you can all be happy with. It sounds like this is a good starting conversation about what you're looking for. So maybe you could start with an exercise before you get to those interviews about what criteria you have to have and what you're looking for, so that there's some little check boxes you can check off and feel good about it. Because everybody's not going to get everything, but let's make sure that we've looked at all of these different variables, from price to support staff to all of the different things. So I wish you good luck in that, because I think it's a really important thing. So thank you for spending so much time on this subject. I appreciate it.
Bob? Well, hey, I'm not sure today.
Bob Edelman, Black Diamond. Before I get to my question, let me make a comment about what I just heard. In 2015, we had a perfectly good city attorney, experienced city attorney, who was making great strides in getting a lot of the our city code straightened out, was working quite well. You three fired her in 2016. She had all the qualifications necessary. But the reason you fired her was because you claimed she had a conflict of interest, that she was only representing the mayor and she wasn't representing, the mayor, Tammy, and Janie, and wasn't representing Pat, Brian, and Erica. We had to have a city attorney. Carol hired her, despite you firing her. She hired her with her contracting authority. However, then you met with Talmadge and Fitzpatrick, and you got them to write nasty letters to her saying, lady, you got a conflict of interest, and if you keep coming here, we're going to file a bar complaint. Now, what would any city attorney making the kind of money we're talking about here decide to do? Somebody who has all the business she can handle. She said, hey, I'm not going to mess around with a bar complaint against me, so goodbye. That's a situation. Not having a city attorney is a situation you three created. Now what you're trying to do is find a city attorney who will represent you three and not Carol, Tammy, and Janie, and the rest of the city. That's exactly what you're trying to do. You've already said it. You said the city attorney reports to the council. You put it in your budget. See if I got this right. I think that's where it appeared. There was an organization chart, and it was a city organization chart, and you took the correct reporting relationship, which is to the mayor. She administers the city attorney. Don't forget that. The city attorney reports to the mayor. He represents the city, but he administratively reports to the mayor. You took that solid line and made it a dotted line and had him reporting to the council. That shows your intent. Now I'll get to my item. This was going to be quick. I don't want to, I hope I'm not just springing you on this suddenly, but what came to mind is we've talked about a few things that have backed up. I was going to make some scatological comments about things backing up, but I'm not going to do that. We've talked about the tip, which I don't know, going on a year past when it has due. The SIP, comprehensive plan. Way past due on that. Minutes. You can't get any minutes approved. I don't know. Maybe the last minutes approved were April. I don't know. The longer you wait, the more you're going to forget about what went on. The more you're going to have to listen to meetings. Those minutes are never going to get approved. My question is, what else is backing up? Is it okay for Brenda to get in on this if there's things that you forget, Carol?
That's in contention right now that we have to approve the TIP in order to get that grant. And it's got to be done at the next meeting.
We got a budget finally. I thought that was nice. It's not going to be easy digging the city out of this hole you three have put us in.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Gary.
I'd just like to go back to Pam McKean's meeting minutes. And I'd like to say that if I couldn't come to a meeting, which lasted 4 hours, I don't want to listen to an audio for 4 hours. I know that if Brenda writes the action minutes, I guarantee you I could read it in less than an hour. I guarantee that. And so, Erica, I honestly believe, that you are deliberately not passing these minutes to keep the citizens of Black Diamond in the dark so you can feed them your own bullshit. You, how many minutes have you withheld? How many have you not passed? Tell me.
I would not know at this point.
So you're not working on it because you don't even know how many there are.
It involves sitting down and watching the film and looking at what's written.
Which one are you working on currently?
I'm not currently working on one. I decided
so
to.
How many
I decided.
Have you not passed?
I decided to work on the TIP and the CIP and a few other things.
How many
things.
Have you not passed? Does anyone know? Anyone know how many she's not bad? Do you know? Yeah, you don't even know.
Well, it has to be more than 10 because we had all those special meetings in December. So there's got to be probably 20 meetings that you have.
So you are deliberately keeping the citizens of Black Diamond in the dark. Deliberately. All you have to do is pass them. And the reason you don't pass them is you see the minutes. And you say, I didn't say that. And then they say, yes, you did, Erica. It says right here, you did say that. You say, well, that's not what I meant. Well, you don't even know what you say. You don't even say what you mean.
So just a quick statement that
yeah.
Whatever's said at a council meeting is what's put in the minutes. A council member cannot say, I see the minutes, but that's not really what I meant to say. And the minutes need to change that to what I meant to say. You can't do that. It has to be verbatim for what a council member said. So Erica earlier said that she didn't like what something said. She didn't. That wasn't what she meant, and that she was going to change it. So it can only be what you said. You cannot change it to say what you thought you should have said.
How many
actually,
of these,
the truth of the matter
have
is.
Have you ever sent back to ask them to accept? How many have you ever sent back?
How many have we sent back? 7, 8, 9, 10?
There's only 10 you withheld. They just said that.
No, there's more than that.
Did you correct them and send them back?
Yeah, we did.
Did she put them on the
website? They're online. Yeah, they're online.
Did you change what you said in them?
No, we didn't change what we said.
You just changed what you
meant.
What
I'm trying, no, and I didn't change what I said or what I meant, because most of the time, it's the way the vote went or what the vote was about that is what is the problem. And listening to it once, you know, the 4.5 hours listening doesn't do it. You have to listen to it again and again and again and again.
Erica, I have
because
to
you
say,
can't remember.
I have to say this. It's because you're a slow learner.
Well, maybe I am. And,
no,
you know,
you
I have a learning disability. I have a learning disability,
well,
and
I
am
it.
A slow learner.
I believe it. You shouldn't even be on council.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council, Kevin?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I never quite know what hat to wear when I come in, whether I'm representing the staff or I'm representing myself or as a citizen. Whatever one I want to wear, since this is a town meeting. I just want to encourage the Council. Thank you for passing a budget. But from what I've seen this last year is you just spin on the issues and don't seem to want to make any important decisions. And you should be doing your homework ahead of time. I envision the council, and when I talk to my neighbors and friends, and envision the council should be working on things like our water quality, how are we going to replace our city shops. Police cars was a good issue. We wait till the last second, and then we have to borrow money from sewer after we have tens of thousands of dollars in repair bills. we've wasted so much time this last year. And I encourage you, you know, you talk about your vision. Okay, well, we couldn't even hardly get Labor Day passed. There's your civic Labor Day parade and event every year. And I know, Eric, you had issues with the it turned out we didn't even need to have permission. But so what? I mean, there was no support from you guys at all to even want to see, like, the event go on. The mayor had to do it on her own. It's things like that. We're just, I see you're just wasting time, and that's what I get from all the citizens that I talk to, is you're spinning, we don't get anywhere, we're not looking at the big picture of what we think a city council should do. What are we doing about parks? What's your vision for, you know, for the regional park?
Is that a question?
Go for it.
Go for it? I've been trying to work this park issue for 3 years under this mayor now. I have, it gets thrown out. I was told we couldn't have any meetings. I had to fight 3 years ago for a meeting about the regional park with Birch and the rest of them. Since then, I've just gone around it because there's just no way. You know, I have a very different perception.
I have
a very different perception than you do about what's holding this sort of thing back.
Okay. I haven't heard anything like this discussed in 6, 8, 9 months.
I have met with the Park Foundation. I have never had you talk to me at all, Eric, about the parks, at all. Not once.
The last time we talked about the parks was when I was agitating about having a meeting about parks with Seth, and you said he didn't have any time and we didn't have any money and it didn't matter. And no, we couldn't work on the park plan or anything like that. I was willing to put free time into working on the park plan, but it was not accepted.
Well, again, getting back to the issue at hand is that we're not getting anywhere with important issues that represent the citizens, the staff. I can put on another hat as the emergency manager. I've got 100 things I'd like to bring before you, of things that we need to be working on to protect our citizens and to be prepared for disasters. None of this. There's no time. I can't bring any of this to you because there's no way to fit it in. I go to the emergency management meetings, and I listen to what everybody else is doing, and I just kind of hide in the background because I don't have anything to say because we're not doing anything. I'm doing what I can in-house to try to prepare us and the staff, but we're just not doing anything. Where are we at on the ball fields over at Lake Sawyer for kids? It's been 10 years, 15 years, and my understanding was we were going to get some ball fields. These are the things that I see, and when I talk to my neighbors and my friends and the business owners are like, what are they doing? We're not getting anywhere. We're not, water quality, or like I say, things like the public works, our water system, when I talked to our guys, is, it's like there's a Band-Aid on it. There's some big issues out at the Springs we're not talking about. So I'm just here to say or encourage you, let's get beyond all this crap, because that's what it's been for 8 or 9 months. It's just a bunch of crap. And I feel your passion, Pat. I still got in the back of my mind, you want something for the arts. Great. I think we'd all be for it. But we got to get through all the BS, when we're dealing with not maybe having a fire department. You heard them the last meeting before we passed the budget, and thank you for passing the budget. And again, we've lost almost all our police officers. We want this cohesiveness. We want this city. We want this vision of community. We're not going to get it. We're not going to get it by the way you have acted as council members. That's not going to bring any cohesiveness or any community. People don't even want to be around. They're embarrassed. So how we get anybody involved, I don't know. So that's just what I wanted to say. Look a little deeper here, and let's get beyond all this, because we're still not getting anywhere on the big picture of things that need to be done for the citizens of Black Diamond.
Anybody else wishing to address council?
I don't even know where to start, but I know that I'm going to keep it short. I think that commending you guys for passing the budget is like me standing at the bottom of my stairs and clapping my hands that my daughter cleaned her frickin' bedroom. It's your job. It's your job. And I hear I am again, and I'm going to ask you to resign, all three of you.
Anybody else wishing to address council? Judy?
Judy Carrier, Green Valley Road, Auburn. I had something prepared. I spent hours preparing. I haven't looked at it. I've been taking notes. I think one of the questions I'd like you to answer is, I know that the majority came together here to change the process for the city council. And I wonder if you could, each of you, talk about how far you have gotten in changing the process, why you wanted to change the process. Is that a fair enough deal to go? This is totally, I think it needs to be talked about, because I think it's an underlying factor here in some of the frustration that the people are expressing. So one question at a time. Should we start with why do we want to change what has been going on in as far as process year after year after year? I've been to a lot of council meetings over the years. It's the same deal. It's smooth. I agree with that. This has not been smooth. It is a change. But what? You know, if you want to extrapolate beyond that, that's fine with me too.
Okay. There are three branches of government. The judicial is here on certain days with Judge Dane, but there are two other branches of government, and one of them is the administrative branch, which the mayor oversees and has supervisory duties with her staff, and the matters that fall within the administration of the city. There is, however, a third branch of government, the council, the city council. We're sitting in the council chambers. The city council is the legislative arm of government, and yes, we deal with policy and contracting authority. And I think that some of the legislative authority has landed in the administrative branch of government over time, at like the council agenda. The council agenda is approved by the council. The council meetings belong to the council. You will hear us say, Madam Chair, and that is the role that the mayor has at the council meeting. She is the presiding officer, and I think that one of the things that's happening is trying to clarify the role of each arm of government. In a code city, the legislative branch of government has, I have said this before, but the mayor has an entire page of RCWs that define her role and her responsibilities in her office as mayor as part of the administrative branch of government. The legislative arm of government also has a page of RCWs that define the responsibilities of the legislative branch of government. And sorting that out has been quite the experience.
Mayor Benson, would you please control the chat and the back talk? These people have a right. I'm just asking the people in the gallery to be polite and respectful, and if you don't want to listen, don't listen, but let these people think this through and let them have a turn.
So we have 10 minutes left.
That's right.
And so could you maybe want to have everybody speak for a minute or 2 minutes, or do you want?
Pat, do you have anything further, though? You were on a roll, and I think, I don't know whether this thing is working or not, but I think I want to leave this open for you and for Brian and for Erica to speak, and the two of you can speak about this too, because you have your feelings about this. Definitely, that's part of the conflict. Jonna just said, can this be resolved? Can this group begin to work together well? This is, to me, this is one of the issues. And
I would see any more time that I had to others who wish to speak.
Do you?
All right. So, as far as myself, I don't think that I didn't necessarily agree with how some of the processes were run here in town. I didn't feel like people that I had elected to office were moving forward with the business that I had elected them to do. I felt that it got to a point of just kind of, you know, take the easy road and push stuff through. Okay, Well, there's a lot of people that I'm sure don't like what I'm doing that I don't hear from either, but that's just kind of the way it works. But, I mean, we're trying to, you know, like you said, or like you mentioned, and we've heard it from other people in the audience, you know, why can't you guys just work together? Why can't you guys just get along? You know, it's, you know, go back to the past, the kumbaya. I'm not saying we can't get along, but, you know, when you feel like you're coming to a meeting or anything that you say, it's, you know, the election was over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But that feeling that it's still, you know, I know there's elections coming up this year and my seat's up. That's, you know, that's what it is. But, you know, to constantly feel like that's still going when you're trying to do city business, it's just a big distraction. So that's one thing, you know, would be nice to do. That's just kind of where the thought is.
There was an election, and these people, Erica, and then these two, were brought forward by the public. You were too. But I'm talking about recently, and they are the majority now, and it seems to stick in the craw of people who are being asked to make some changes. She mentioned the agenda. It's legal for them to make up their own agenda and might give them more of a place in the three branches to make it easier to do work, but it would be a change. But there's balking even at something to me that, why not? Noticing their meetings, if they, you know, I realize committee meetings are probably the biggest issue for the minority and the mayor. But being able to appoint members themselves, I understand why it's hard for you and Tanny. But I'm not talking about your situation. Erica, I want to give you a chance because it's got about 4 minutes here, and I would like Erica to have an opportunity to answer. Erica, unless you don't have anything to say in regard to what about that?
What I would like to say, I'd like to go back a little bit further back. The reason I wanted to change the committee structure, because I'm the one who wanted to change it, was built up after talking and campaigning with people for 7 or 8 years, all around town, all sorts of people. And what I noticed was that the public was thinking that when they got a chance to hear about something, they were always late to the party, and the decisions had all been made. And I think that happens. It's true. I don't really understand a clear path to change that completely up. But I think that happens because I think that staff has this agenda that it wants to push forth. And I think that when they bring something to the meeting, they have to have it in such complete form that they have then, by the time they get it to the council, they have by then had so much mental energy going into it that it's like their baby that they've born. And if anyone dares say anything, no matter how good their idea is, it doesn't get listened to. And so I wanted to create a situation where we could bring things ahead of time. People could have an opportunity, multiple heads would have an opportunity to say something. I understand perfectly well that a lot of what people would say who are new to the party would be like off-the-wall stuff that is off-the-wall. But other stuff that people would say, because it was something that they'd studied and spent a lot of time over, they'd have something really constructive to say, that it would be, okay, let's get this in. And the reason that I say this is because of my long experience with the city of Black Diamond going back to the 80s.
Never mind.
So that's what I wanted to do. And so, you know, when I find out that we could have things read more often, we could have a first reading, then people would have a chance to study up if they wanted to. There would be a committee meeting that they could go to and talk at. The council members wouldn't be depending only on their own vision of the future, but they'd be able to come to the council meeting and say, I have these points that, you know, people from the public brought up, and discuss it, and we could discuss it openly in front of everybody, because that's the other main thing. I have a lot of experience with government historically in my family, long before there were sunshine laws. And I can tell you that was always a big, like, joke in my family. Those people who are doing the government, they're all plotting against them all the time. They'll never have a chance to get their stuff up on the floor. And so that's why I'm so very, very, very careful about the open public meetings, because I know exactly what they're talking about.
I'd like to close. It's time. But I'd like to say something that I'd like everybody here to hear. I haven't investigated this yet, but the city of Auburn has tried the committee organization with more people than quorum on committees that they have suggested to do, and they have tried the way it's been going, where there's a little bit of this, and then they have the work studies. They actually were to a place here just in the last months ago, and I haven't gotten to them. I want to know what they had decided.
A number of them, excuse me, but
let me finish, please. They've had their opportunity. I know they've spoken longer than I have. I just would like to
ask the council if we can extend,
thank you,
suspend the rules,
and extend it for another 20 minutes. Can I get that out before 9
and
o'clock hits?
I'm not planning on taking 20. I'm planning on taking
15. But it's already been 15 minutes. So I just want to ask the council if we could suspend the rules. Otherwise, we're closing right now. We could suspend the rules because it's 9 o'clock and go for another 20 minutes. But it's 9 o'clock. So we need to either suspend the rules or close it right now. That's in the council rules.
I will make a motion to suspend the rules to let Mrs. Carrier have another 3 minutes.
3 minutes. 3 minutes. And how about the rest? How about the rest of you? Just open your mind for a minute and hear this. So Auburn, they want to go. I get that.
You guys have to vote on that. But it's a motion. There's no second. You need to vote on it.
You've got to vote.
So, okay, I'd like to amend that motion and put it for 20 minutes so that all citizens have their next 5 minutes to talk. Everybody's been up here for at least 15 minutes, including Judy. So I'd like to give that courtesy to everybody to get up for their next 5 minutes if they want to talk again, or the people that have been shut out that haven't even gotten up here for their 10 minutes. So can we do that for 20 more minutes?
Well, I can't speak for you guys, but 20 minutes is going to make it really a difference for me, so that's fine.
Do we have a second? I'm good.
Okay. Thank you.
Wait.
So what?
No.
Are you okay?
As amended.
Okay. So what I wanted to say to you is that the Auburn City Council was going back and forth about whether to have committee meetings above quorum or have the other way to have workshops and have staff come to workshops, or with their committee meetings, staff came to the committee meetings, as was the idea. And the majority, at the point that I have left this situation, is that the majority of a seven-member council, had decided that the majority of those people wanted to go back to a committee situation with staff attending those committee meetings because they could be more detailed in the information that they got. The conclusion, however, I don't know, but they were talking about trying to find something that was intermediate between the committee thing, staff, public coming, that kind of conversation, and work studies where people did not get to talk, public people didn't get to talk, but the staff came that were needed for that. And that's all I really want to say is I think it's worth looking into, and as I have time, I'll even make a phone call myself. Maybe some of you will want. Maybe that'll work. I don't know.
Bob? Is there anybody else that wanted to speak for the first time that hasn't spoken? Okay, Bob.
Bob Edelman, Black Diamond. I just wanted to correct some of the misstatements that were made in the civics lesson that we just got about the branches of government. This is not state government. This is not the United States government. We are a code city, and we're governed by the state legislature, who set the rules by 35A 12, chapter 35A 12. In those rules, Pat, I'm going to say it one more time. I swore I wouldn't.
I'll hear it one more time.
Okay. Despite what Dardowski told you, this is not the council's meeting. The code requires that the meeting be the mayor and the council. The mayor is not there as a potted plant. The mayor is the presiding officer of these council meetings and is required by law and authorized to present things to the council for their consideration. You cannot remove items from the agenda that the mayor puts on the agenda, because that is fulfilling her requirement to present things for council's consideration. Therefore, you do not control the agenda. This is not, you're not under Robert's Rules of Order. Robert's Rules of Order is subservient to the RCW. Okay. And I directed you to the particular statute. It's either 35A 12-100 or 110. I forgot which. But go read those things, please. There was something else. There are things that you cannot remove from the agenda. The origin of these rules, and that was the question that was asked, was what was your thinking when you produced these rules? It was a combination of Pat Pepper, Erica Morgan, Brian Dardowski, Kristen Bryant, and it's conjecture that Brian was involved in this. But I said there's conjecture. It is true that there's conjecture. Would you shut up for a moment? All I said was there's conjecture. There's conjecture that the world is flat. That's a true statement. There is conjecture. My God, listen to me, please. Those of you who have college degrees. Now I lost my train of thought. These rules were produced, we know of for sure, Pat Pepper, Erica Morgan, Brian Dardowski, Kristen Bryant. Brian Dardowski explained what was intended by the rules. He did that in one of your early meetings. I got a verbatim transcript of that, and I'd like to give it to anyone who requests it. In that verbatim transcript, he made numerous mistakes in law. Those rules were never gone over by an attorney. They were gone over by Brian Dardowski. There are a lot of illegal things in the rules. Your own attorney that you hired, Talmadge, Fitzpatrick, said that there are things in the rules that are illegal. Now let's. Yeah. Okay. Let me bring up one of them. You cannot tell the mayor. You could not tell the mayor that she had to have her staff go to your evening meetings. They told you that was illegal. He didn't use the word illegal. No, it had to be adjusted, but it was against the law. Finally, you changed it, and you said, well, maybe. These meetings in the evening that you're or that you're talking about in Auburn, are they talking about having meetings in the evening? Well, that is the big contention. Those you could have had your meetings, your meetings, if they had been done in a way where they where the staff could attend them and support you. But no, you insisted on having them in the evening. The mayor said, I will not support that. We don't have the budget for it, and the staff is not going to volunteer to go at every one of those GD meetings. We went to those meetings. The public didn't show up. About the only public who has consistently gone to the meetings is Robin Taylor. She can tell you how many people go to these meetings. So you did not accomplish what it was you wanted to do. You wanted to get public involvement. It didn't work. But you won't give up.
Robin? There's hands everywhere now.
Robin Taylor. I'm not going to engage any of you this time. Pepper, when you refuse to vote on something because it is not on your approved agenda, you prove to the citizens that you are far more concerned with you, yourself, your process, and your power than you are concerned about the needs of the citizens in the city. Boiling this statement down, you occupy your seats, you three, for your own power and not for the benefit and welfare of the citizens. You are not public servants. You are not governors, small g governors. You occupy your elected seats as rulers. We as citizens and city staff are your servants. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Pepper's attitude that she doesn't owe answers to the citizens circles right back to that first part I said. Even during council meetings when asked questions and she runs out of answers, she reverts to reading scripts or resolutions in their entirety. Even Weber could not adequately speak to his budget amendments. Erica wanders all around a point and periodically stumbles onto a point. I would just encourage Morgan Weber and Pepper to start using your own brains. If you do your own studying, actually speak to Black Diamond City staff, not Maple Valley City staff, but Black Diamond City staff, I think you would be much more informed and actually be able to speak to the issues and thereby look intelligent as well. However, it is painfully obvious that you are woefully uninformed because you are being told what to say and what to think. Personally, maybe it's because I'm from Montana, but I could never live like that. Maybe I am an independent thinker, but I'm not a follower. Parks, Erica, for Pete's sake, you have been the chair of your GovOps committee since January of last year. You have had within your power to drive home a parks plan, to even talk about it, to design it, to I see you guys pull out paper and design the roundabout down at Roberts Drive and 169. I mean, it's like, good grief, I can't believe it. You've had the opportunity to do that, Erica, in your GovOps committee. You have not spoken about the parks plan or parks one time. Not one time. Yet you sit here and you want to pontificate on how much the mayor has befuddled your wonderful grand attempts to get a parks plan pushed through. And yet in the last year, when you have had all the power, you have done nothing. Nothing. Chrissy?
Okay. So, Brian, you're the only one I have faith in right now. Okay. You, Pat Pepper, I don't know. You were a school teacher? I can't believe that. My husband's a school teacher. He's well-educated. He's well-spoken. He thinks clearly. He reads. He researches. He knows how to talk to people. And if you were a teacher, I can't believe how you ever got hired. I mean, how did you ever even get anything across to those kids? Because you certainly can't get anything across here. And Erica, I honestly believe there is something wrong with you. I think you need to go have a mental evaluation and just resign. So, Brian, you're the only one I have faith in. I'm going to give you this book. I dare you to read it. I dare you to go in and talk to Andy, get the development agreement, and get the funding agreement. do your homework, because the three of you going to this mediation is just one little step closer for another lawsuit. It really is. You think you're going to go in there and you're going to change something? You're not, because these are contracts. These are binding, lawful contracts. And it took a long time to get these things done. It went to the Supreme Court. And how you three think that you can manipulate and change something is beyond me. Quit listening to people. Read. Talk to staff. And do your homework.
John and then Jennifer.
Thank you for letting me bring up the other item I wanted to talk about. And that was, I'm concerned about the pulling vouchers thing. I'm concerned about the city not paying bills that for services already rendered. And I'm wondering what the process is for those bills. I guess this question is to you, Erica. You're the one who pulls vouchers. What happens with those vouchers when they get pulled? Those bills do not get paid, correct? That she's looking for the microphone.
There is a process that it stated what happens to them in the Black Diamond Municipal Code and in the state code.
Okay, so
I have no
Erica,
idea. I have no idea whether those things are being followed.
I'm asking you, what do you think happens when you say, pull this voucher, pull this? I mean, does it just go into the twilight zones? I don't understand. It sounds to me like when you're saying, I want to pull this voucher, that you have an understanding of where that's going and when and if it's going to get paid, how that happens. Do you have an understanding? Can you share that with me?
I'll be sharing that and have been sharing that with the state auditor, and I'm not going to say anything at this time.
Is this connected to last week when Andy asked for the $300,000? Mm-hmm. For the bills that had not been paid last fall? You're turning something into the state auditor? It's turning something in on the city? Mm-hmm. You're turning the city in about something that's been done wrong? And the city's going to find out about it when they get something from
they
the state auditors. You sound kind of hot about this. So, okay. So I guess I'll ask the mayor.
I'm authorized by state law to make sure that people are paid that have already done their work.
Okay.
I cannot withhold their payments.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that was my question, because it concerns me when I hear one council member say they don't want a bill paid, and that then the city's reputation out there is that we're going to ask you to make copies for us, but we're not going to pay for those copies. We're going to ask you to do this and this work, and we're not going to pick. I mean, city doesn't need any more bad reputation. So the other thing is, Erica, when you do pull those, you never give a reason. You just say, I don't want to pay this bill, and I don't want to pay this bill, and I don't want to pay this bill. And, you know, I mean, if you want open government, then make a statement about it. Let the other council members and the mayor know what your issue is.
Oh, they know what the issue is, and I'm sorry that you didn't. It is true.
Annie's shaking her head.
It is true. What I pull is things that the council, who has the contracting authority, did not approve those contracts.
Okay. So you have a pattern. It sounds very random to me as a resident. So it's whenever you think they shouldn't be contracted with in the first place.
It's when, no, it isn't me. It's when there was a resolution that came to the council and that resolution was turned down. And then the mayor contracted anyway or didn't contract anyway, those sorts of things.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you for helping me understand that. I appreciate it.
Jennifer.
Since I am a member of the city of Black Diamond and my city is named in this lawsuit, that just was published today. I want to know when you're going to be putting up your $150,000.
It's not my practice to discuss things that are under litigation.
Well, all I can say is I just read it today, and I'm still looking at what needs to be for the next step, and that's all. I don't have anything else to discuss about it.
We just found out today.
Again, I ask for your resignation for bringing the city down into the dumps and the trenches, having us named in another lawsuit, going towards another mediation. And you sit there so smug. It blows my mind. I hope that you guys are proud of yourselves, because I go to work and people laugh at me. The people that live in Enumclaw, they laugh at me because of the crap they read about us in the Enumclaw Courier. And you should be ashamed. And I'll want to know at the next meeting, I'm going to ask the question again. Where is the money coming from? When are you going to put up your part for taking us down?
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So that was
all those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.